that time, you might have a range of possible reactions to those socks. Maybe you wouldn't notice them at all. Such details are unimportant and don't even register in your field of vision. Maybe your first priority is hygiene, and immediately wonder whether these socks are dirty and need to be washed. Perhaps you're somebody to whom order and tidiness are very important, and your first instinct is to pick them up straight away. Or then again, maybe they are the very socks you've been trying to track down for days, and you're just pleased that you've finally found them. A dozen or so years ago, if I'd walked into a room and seen a pair of socks lying on the floor, I would have felt really angry. Although I would never have physically acted out on my anger, I would have made certain that those living in the house with me were left in no doubt about the fact that I was not happy and the degree of my displeasure. The way I saw things at the time, a pair of discarded socks, recently worn and not even paired together before being thrown on the floor, was a sure and certain sign that those sharing my space had zero respect for me and no regard whatsoever for my feelings. I would have seen it as an affront to my dignity as a person, as proof that the person who'd left the offending objects lying on the floor hadn't given me a second thought. Pretty extreme reaction, I'm sure you'll agree. Other things, which again to someone else might seem trivial and hardly worthy of notice, would have provoked similarly strong feelings in me. Opening the kitchen cupboard, for example, to find that the clean cups had been put back in a careless, higgledy-piggledy fashion and not the precise, ordered way I like to stack them myself. Going into the downstairs bathroom and seeing a pair or even a couple of pairs of shoes beneath the sink, just left lying where they'd been taken off, rather than being put away in their proper place, in the shoe rack, in the hall, beside the front door, and so on. But I guess we all have our pet hates and personal foibles. And maybe mine, and my reactions to them, weren't as odd or as over the top as I might imagine compared to some other people's. Yet even at the time, I was aware that reacting so strongly and in many ways irrationally to such relatively minor things, I was creating suffering for those around me as well as for myself. I certainly knew that I wasn't happy living in such a reactive way. So, what changed? Well, unlike some people, I didn't have a big earth-shattering road to Damascus moment that I can still pinpoint in my memory all these years later. I didn't hit some kind of rock bottom or have a dark night of the soul. There was no time of great personal crisis which forced me all of a sudden to make sweeping changes in my way of being. I'm certainly not discounting the